Kwaba, Ekabo, Jumbo, and hello, Bankless Africa. It's the end of another week, which means it's time for Sats and Gwe, where we try to bring you weekly updates and recaps of some of the most significant crypto and Web3 headlines about the African continent and sometimes from across the globe. I, of course, am still Miss Purple, hopefully your favorite decentralized reporter from Africa. Now, as Bankless Africa, we are in our growth era, so we ask that you subscribe if you haven't already, share the episode with a friend or a colleague to keep them in the loop, and if you have the time, please do leave a comment so we can continue to grow in the direction that you would like to see us grow. Now, to get into the markets for today, the 14th of October, 2023, starting off with Bitcoin, which is currently at $26,867.84. Ethereum is at $1,547.99. Optimism is at $1.21. Matic is at $0.5177. And the Bank token is currently at $0.0030282. Moving on to our national currencies, we're going to start off with the Ghanaian cedi, which is currently at 11.76 cedi to the dollar. The Nigerian naira is at 770.01 naira to the dollar. The Lesotho Luti and South African rand are both at 19.01 rand or Luti to the dollar. The Kenyan shilling is at 147.79 shillings to the dollar. And last but certainly never the least, the Central African CFA franc is at 623.92 franc to the dollar. And with that, we're going to get straight into our headlines for this week. We have quite a few because we also have some of them to catch up on. So we're just going to get through them as quickly as we can, just to make sure that we make you all aware of what exactly has been happening and what is currently happening as well. Starting off with Bybit, which has launched their derivative products in South Africa. Now, Bybit, which is a cryptocurrency exchange based in the United Arab Emirates, or the UAE, has launched their crypto derivatives product and fiat on-ramp services in South Africa. Bybit's fiat on-ramp service will enable South African users to make deposits in rand currency, that is the ZAR, via bank transfers. This launch marks Bybit's entry into the South African market. I am noticing, of course, that there are a lot more, you know, exchanges and companies and businesses that are moving towards focusing on the African market. And most of them tend to go for South Africa, Kenya, Nigeria, or Ghana, you know, but I think that is good progress. And somewhere or another, it definitely benefits the grander mission of getting 1 billion people into crypto, I guess, as soon as it's realistic. Moving on to our next headline, the South African crypto exchange Valour makes a critical step towards global expansion following their Dubai regulatory approval. Now, Valour received initial approval from Dubai's Virtual Asset Regulatory Authority, also known in short as VARA, that is V-A-R-A. VARA, which is the sole authority regulating virtual assets in Dubai, has granted Valour with initial approval. Valour has processed over $10 billion in trading volume since its founding in 2018, which is a lot of money. Now, Valour also serves over 500,000 retail customers and over 900 corporate and institutional clients. This initial approval from VARA is a significant milestone for Valour. As a person who does tend to use Valour now and then, I say kudos to them. I do hope that they continue to provide as wonderful a service, even with this expansion, and that if anything, all it ever does is help them to continue to grow more, and that it does not hinder their current offerings and services. Moving on to Kenya, where a panel is urging the shutdown of WorldCoin's crypto project within the country. A Kenyan parliamentary panel called on the country's information technology regulator on Monday to shut down the operations of a cryptocurrency project known as WorldCoin within the country until more stringent regulations were put into place. Now, the government had already suspended the project in early August. However, they still have a virtual presence in Kenya and can be accessed via the internet even after this August suspension. The ad hoc panel of about 18 lawmakers said in a report that the Regulatory Commissions of Authority of Kenya should, and I quote, disable the virtual platforms of Tools for Humanity Corp and Tools for Humanity GmbH Germany, WorldCoin, including blacklisting the IP addresses of related websites, end quote. Now, during the suspension of data collection in August, authorities said the project's method of obtaining consumer consent in return for a monetary award of just over $50 at the time bordered somewhat on inducement. I will not lie, I felt the same way, that if you're going to offer money, whether it's $50, $10, $5 to people that you know need it, that does not really feel like you're giving them an option. I mean, yes, you are giving them an option, but it doesn't feel like it in context. It feels a lot more like you're saying, if you want money to go and purchase what you really need right now, you will do this thing. And I think it sets a very dangerous precedent to say that if WorldCoin were to continue soliciting or, you know, getting people to sign up or, you know, give their data information or allow for it to be collected, what does that say about the value we put on our data and our information as Africans in our currently struggling economies, unfortunately, and how much we're willing to give it up for? Because if all it takes is $50, listen, a lot more companies will come flooding. So I do think that Kenya is doing, or at least the 18 lawmakers that are calling for WorldCoin to be completely suspended, I reckon they have the right idea. It might not work, but it might work as well. So it's positive to see somewhat of a progression towards protecting the people before, you know, the profit and the money, etc. Moving on to our next headline for this week, Tunisia's Dar blockchain announces a partnership with Hashgraph Association to develop MENA Web3 ecosystem. The Tunisian Web3 company DAR or Dar blockchain is partnering with the Hashgraph Association to promote the adoption of the Hedera network in the MENA region. They aim to achieve this through hackathons, training sessions, and community building activities. This collaboration seeks to accelerate the adoption of distributed ledger technology, DLT, in the region and supports the growing interest in crypto and Web3 technology in the MENA region, which has been a hotspot for innovation and growth within the Web3 space. I say most progress, especially towards the education and onboarding of communities and training of people. That to me tends to be a good thing. Moving on to our next headline, CoinFlip, which is a leading American crypto ATM firm, installs 9 crypto ATMs in South Africa. Chicago-based Olive by CoinFlip has expanded into South Africa by installing 9 cryptocurrency kiosks in KZN and the Gauteng provinces. These kiosks offer easy access to a variety of cryptocurrencies, including Bitcoin, Litecoin, Ethereum, Dogecoin, and more, allowing users to buy or sell using cash. South Africa, which has 7.7 million crypto holders, that is an insane amount of people. South Africa, which has 7.7 million crypto holders, is a key market for adoption. Olive also provides an over-the-counter, that is OTC, digital order desk service for institutional investors and high net worth individuals. CoinFlip, which has the largest network of Bitcoin ATMs in the US, aims to make cryptocurrencies more accessible and bridge the gap between traditional finance and the crypto world. Now, I'm not exactly certain if this was theirs, but I do know that I saw a crypto, specifically a Bitcoin ATM, at the airport about a month ago. So I'm not sure. It could be them. If it's not them, this also means that there are, of course, a lot of other, you know, ATM kiosks that are cropping up across South Africa, which could be something very interesting. But if that was them at the airport, I see you. I see you, CoinFlip and Olive. I see you doing your thing. So hopefully it's a good thing. Hopefully it's a good thing and none of it has any, you know, hidden skeletons, as tends to be the habit within this space. On to our next headline, BTrust Builders launches Build for Africa Bitcoin Hackathon, which is open to anyone with a Bitcoin idea. Btrust Builders, which is the African Bitcoin education program, which recently rebranded from Gala, has launched a virtual hackathon called Build for Africa in partnership with the Africa Bitcoin Conference of 2023. The hackathon invites participants from various backgrounds, including developers, subject matter experts, designers, and more, to build innovative applications and tools that address African challenges using Bitcoin and the Lightning Network. The goal is to showcase practical use cases for Bitcoin for African problems and inspire more Africans to engage with Bitcoin. The event includes a four-day ideathon for brainstorming and idea refinement, followed by the hacking phase starting on October the 16th, which is in a few days, with prizes of up to $10,000 in Bitcoin. The judging panel includes notable figures from the African Bitcoin community. I think this is very interesting. We don't see a lot of, you know, hackathons that are geared towards Bitcoin. And I guess it's with good reason, because that is not as easily accessible to everybody. And you want to build on something that already has somewhat of a track record of, hey, this works. We've seen it work. And outside investors are more willing to come on board because they've seen something like that happen. So most things that do occur in terms of hackathons are Ethereum related, which isn't a bad thing. If anything, it's a good thing, because it shows us that Ethereum has that, you know, composability where people are able to continue building on it and developing on it moving forward without hindering or adjusting or having to rebuild anything from scratch, but rather just evolving and building on top of it as we move forward. But this is very interesting. I am very curious to see what this hackathon brings. I will be keeping my eye on it. If you are interested, make sure to look into it. I believe, unfortunately, entries have already closed, but you can, you know, maybe follow along and you might find a project or two that you might either end up working with or investing in, depending on your capacity within the space. On to our next headline. South Africans can now scan to pay with crypto. Scan to Pay, which is powered by Ugeshe, which is the largest QR ecosystem in South Africa, has partnered with Zion Global to introduce cryptocurrency payments on its app. The collaboration aims to provide lower fees and faster settlement times, aligning with the growing trend of cryptocurrency adoption among retailers in South Africa. Users can link their MetaMask wallet, scan a QR code, and complete transactions in one click. The partnership plans to roll out features in phases, including cashback rewards and royalty programs, aiming to enhance financial inclusion and provide an alternative to traditional banking through cryptocurrencies. I am all for bringing crypto to the mainstream. Once again, of course, before you adopt it, always, always be sure to do some research. Maybe ask a few questions, you know, maybe attend a bit of a Q&A or an AMA if they do have one, just to figure out exactly how it works and what you would be getting yourself into. On to our next headline, the NITDA warns Nigerians over cryptocurrency giveaway scam. The National Information Technology Development Agency, NITDA, in Nigeria, has issued a warning about a cryptocurrency giveaway scam primarily circulating on TikTok. Next level. Scammers are tricking users into making cryptocurrency payments and stealing from their wallets. They create deep fake videos featuring influential figures promoting fake giveaways and instruct viewers to visit specific websites and enter promo codes for free Bitcoin. However, users are then asked to deposit Bitcoin to activate their accounts, and the scammers steal these deposits. The NITDA advises not to share personal data with untrusted sites and to be cautious of social media giveaways, particularly those involving cryptocurrencies. The NITDA has previously warned about fake ChatGPT websites on Facebook, which could steal sensitive data from users' devices. That is insane. But come to think of it, I do think I have come across a free Bitcoin site back early in my days. And I don't know, I've always been extra cautious about things that are free, because why is it free? How is it free? Nothing in this world is ever free. So if it's free, I'm going to assume that I'm the product. So probably you're stealing my information or something else. So every time when I came across something that said free, I never did it. And anything that said you had to pay to activate something, I said no, because no, because it's mine. why, right? So yes, please be careful. Don't ever, anybody who claims they can give you free Bitcoin, free ETH, free whatever, don't trust it, okay? Even a free NFT, don't ever. Don't believe it unless it's a friend that you know personally, because even with that, the reason I emphasize on personally is because people are known to also social engineer. So someone could pretend to be Miss Purple for a really long time, and for 4 months you think you've been talking to me this whole time, and then eventually somewhere down the line I ask you to send me some crypto, and you do. Maybe because you feel like, you know what, I know her, I trust her, I believe she needs these funds. But then this person disappears only for you to realize they were pretending to be me the whole time and convinced you in a span of 4 months that you were friends and then stole money from you or an NFT. I've heard of that happening way too many times than I care to count. But it is true. It is happening. So please be careful, whether it's TikTok, especially if it's on a social media site that does not tend to lean towards cryptocurrency content, then you should be very suspicious. Moving on to our next headline, Kenyan women are the most involved in cryptocurrency in Africa, third globally, according to a report. First of all, I would like to give an applause to all the Kenyan women, having been in their vicinity and in their midst, I can assure you that it's not just being physically involved. They have a certain mindset, I think, that allows them to be involved, you know, be the most involved, the third most involved globally, because of just the way they carry themselves and the attitude they have towards crypto, towards the blockchain industry, and towards this, you know, this new era of being online and digital finance and digital money and just the new frontier, essentially. I do think that we could learn a lot from them, generally as, you know, global people, but also as the women participating in crypto within the African continent. Now, according to a Bitcoin KE Women in Crypto 2023 report, 42% of crypto ownership in Kenya is by the women, ranking the country third globally and first in Africa for crypto equality. This suggests that the use of crypto for additional income in regions with limited opportunities is very high. However, women are still underrepresented in crypto leadership, with only 6% of blockchain CEOs being women, and on Twitter, just 7 out of the top 50 crypto influencers are women, making up 14% of the prominent voices in the crypto space. What I can say, though, is that while at ETH Safari, there was a panel that I was on that specifically spoke to the equality of the crypto space. And it did not go how I thought it would. In many ways, it was disappointing, but also in many ways, very enlightening, because we got to see firsthand that there are still people who don't see the need for the conversation, as in the conversation about why equality is necessary, why it is needed, why we need to encourage more women to be involved in crypto. They don't see that as a conversation that is at all necessary or at all important. If anything, they shut those conversations down, or they veer them towards whatever direction they feel they need to go. So that was disheartening and very saddening. But it was also encouraging, you know, because you also heard from people who are actively making headway. You know, there are different communities of women that are intentionally working towards training more women within this space. So to every single woman out there, all the women that I got to meet at East Safari, all the other women that are unfortunately not able to attend, but are continuing to build, kudos to you. And I understand also that we are right at the beginning and a lot of things will take a bit of time, because this is also not just a crypto problem. This is a global problem. So we have a much deeper issue here to deal with before we can get into having a bit more equality within the crypto space. But once again, congratulations to the Kenyan women for continuing to spearhead their involvement within the crypto industry of the African continent. All right, on to our next headline. The Cameroon Ministry of Finance calls for crypto regulations to protect crypto users from rampant Ponzi schemes. The Cameroon Ministry of Finance blames the Central African Financial Market Supervisory Commission's lack of clear guidance for creating regulatory uncertainty in the country's cryptocurrency sector. A report reveals that Ponzi schemes are rampant in the Cameroonian crypto space, often resulting in the loss of savings due to misleading promises. Now, approximately 900,000 individuals, 6.76% of the actual active population of Cameroon, uses cryptocurrency, with the convenience of online transactions driving adoption, especially during the pandemic. The absence of formal agreements between users and crypto exchanges allows for unregulated operations. The report recommends clarifying contract terms, establishing regulations to safeguard investors, identifying and closing Ponzi schemes, raising awareness about cryptocurrency risks, and formalizing regulations. The study surveyed 18 cryptocurrency companies, primarily attracting individuals in the 20 to 30 year age group with higher education degrees and relatively modest incomes. This is, of course, very unfortunate, but kudos to the Cameroon Ministry of Finance for calling for this, because it also means that instead of simply saying, hey, we're going to shut the whole thing down, they're saying we need to protect our people above all else. On to our next headline, Binance donates over $3 million to Morocco and Libya users in BNB airdrops. Now, Binance will airdrop up to, or rather has airdropped up to $3 million in BNB to users affected by the recent earthquake in Morocco's Marrakesh Safi province. Users who completed proof of address, that is POA, by September 9th of 2023 will receive up to $100 in BNB, and those who completed by September 30th, 2023, will get $25 in BNB. Active transacting users across Morocco will also receive $10 in BNB through airdrops. Binance Charity has launched a public donation address to support earthquake relief efforts. Additionally, Binance plans to airdrop $100 in BNB to users in Libya who completed their proof of address, that is POA, by September 11th of 2023, and $25 for those who completed it by the 30th of September 2023. All active transacting users in Libya will receive $10 in BNB as well to aid in flood relief efforts, as the flooding in Libya has caused at least 1,500 confirmed deaths, with 10,000 people still missing at the time of reporting. On to our next headline, AGOE wants to fix Africa's broken certificate system with blockchain. AGOE, which is a Lagos-based startup, is addressing the challenge of issuing verifiable academic records using blockchain technology. The founder, Ayodeji Agbola, saw the need for digital certificate verification systems in sub-Saharan Africa, where reissuing academic records is extremely challenging. AGOE's blockchain-based platform allows organizations to upload certificate templates and recipient names, generating digital copies of these academic records. Recruiters or visa officers can then verify these records by checking the metadata stored on the blockchain. While blockchain offers security and tamper-proof features, the startup faces user acquisition challenges, particularly with public universities that have reservations about blockchain technology due to its association with cryptocurrencies and, unfortunately, scammers. We still have a long way to go in terms of educating people, but kudos to AGOE for the work that they're currently doing. I do hope that they get more support, and I do hope that their people can be a bit more open to perhaps maybe learning about cryptocurrency. If anything, this says that before you can, you know, jump on the bandwagon, there are people out there that are still blissfully unaware of this new frontier that a lot of us are functioning and operating on. So maybe look into that before you try to venture into your new startup. On to our next headline, Nigeria's crypto transactions hit $56.7 billion, driven by the weakening currency and, of course, inflation. Cryptocurrency adoption is on the rise in Nigeria due to a weakening currency and, of course, inflation, as I stated. A report by Chain Analysis revealed that from July 2022 to June of 2023, Nigeria saw a 9% year-over-year growth in cryptocurrency transactions, totaling up to 56.7 billion, US dollars. Interest in Bitcoin and stablecoins surged as the Naira's value dropped, exacerbated by economic reforms and a rising inflation. In 2021, Nigeria banned banks from engaging in cryptocurrency transactions, but the young tech-savvy population turned to peer-to-peer trading on crypto exchanges. Nigeria is now recognized as one of the most crypto-savvy countries globally. I have to say, as one of the younger generation of people, I have to applaud Nigerians because they are the most innovative people I think I have come across. They don't just stop. You don't just say no and think a Nigerian is going to say, okay, that's not how they roll. So kudos to the young tech-savvy population for, you know, moving in another direction. And it's not to say that necessarily they've done something entirely wrong. What Nigeria did was to just ban the banks from being involved. But being involved in a peer-to-peer manner, that is something that we as Africans have been doing, particularly with mobile money, for a really, really long time. So that is not anything that is truly new. And you can't really tell me what to do with my money with a friend. I can understand from a banking standpoint, but you cannot tell a peer not to trade with their peer, whether it's crypto, heck, whether it's gems, right? If you are a friend, I can give you, or if I trust you, if I decide to put my trust in you, I can do a trade with you on anything that is essentially legal, of course. Moving on to our next headline for this week, Adaverse funds Katani Pay Financial Gateway to improve a seamless dApp interaction in Africa with the Cardano onboarding. Now, Adaverse, which is a venture fund and Cardano accelerator that we have spoken about here on the podcast quite a few times, has invested in Katani Pay, which is a technology aiming to bridge Web3 platforms with local payment channels in Africa. Katani Pay enables the use of blockchain assets through USSD codes that is on your phone. I'm not sure if you have not come across it before. I know here back home, if, say, for example, you want to check your airtime, you'll say *100#, and that is the code that allows you to access these services without having internet access, which also means you don't need to have a smartphone. Now, when you move this into crypto, it makes it accessible to those with basic phones and limited internet connectivity to interact with this frontier. The platform allows digital transactions and supports DeFi initiatives, such as providing low-interest loans for farmers. They facilitated up to $23 million US dollars in transfers, benefiting over 15,000 users. Katani Pay plans to integrate with Cardano to enhance accessibility across Africa's financial ecosystem, and the startup is also looking to expand to South Africa. If you are not watching the video, I am snapping my fingers because I am so, so excited and I am so proud of the work that Katani Pay continues to do. You know, the conversation is often that crypto is a need for the African continent. And in many ways, we're also seeing that we have so many hurdles that we still need to go through. You know, the fact that we have to consider that internet is not as accessible to everybody else. In other countries in the West, when you create something, the assumption is everybody has the internet. But here, that is not how that works. So kudos to Katani Pay. And I know there are other, you know, companies and startups out there that are working using USSD codes, because I know that, you know, if I have an aunt or an uncle or whoever that lives up in the mountains and there's no internet, if they're able to use USSD codes, they will. If it has something to do with, you know, their freedom in terms of financial freedom, they will. And if they have given low interest loans to farmers, that is insane. Up to 15,000 users have been able to benefit from the work that Katani Pay is doing. 15,000 people, that is at least a minimum of 15,000 families, because this is assuming one individual is, you know, one family at the very least, or is going to benefit in some way or another one family. That is a lot. That is a lot. So congratulations to KotaniPay and of course to Adaverse and to the other investors in KotaniPay for seeing or having faith in KotaniPay in a project that truly, truly puts the African people before, any kind of just simply doing it for the sake of doing it, but they put the African people's needs before anything else. So that is quite refreshing to see. And on to our last headline for this week. ETH Accra reiterates Filecoin EVM significance in blockchain development. Now, ETH Accra, in partnership with the Ethereum Foundation and, of course, Bankless Africa, organized a 3-day hackathon in Ghana aimed at educating developers and builders. The event encouraged the creation of innovative projects using Ethereum blockchain to address local problems, specifically in West Africa, but not limited only to that specific region. It was an open track hackathon with no predefined themes, and participants developed projects related to the Ethereum ecosystem and not bordered by any other themes. Enoch Mbaibe, the Filecoin Orbit community lead, held a workshop on the Filecoin Ethereum virtual machine, that is the FEVM, explaining how it allows Filecoin to run applications and programs built for Ethereum. All in all, what this is saying is there is still so much out there, there is still so much growth, there is still so much potential, and the best thing you can do is just get involved. Okay, now with that, we have come to the end of this episode. Just a reminder that none of what we share here is financial advice, only the opinions of the individuals that make this show possible. You can use the links in the show notes to do your own research. If you have stuck with us until the very end of this episode, you might as well subscribe so you don't miss any of our next episode. Now, until next time, remember to be relentless in your mission to be bankless.